Good morning for people listening on the webcast. We're going to be starting a few minutes late because of the Long Beach Marathon, and people are still working their way through the block streets to get here. So please be patient. We'll be starting momentarily.
One day for a year. 2 days. Oh, yeah. Tingla.
No, okay.
Oh, yeah, time on the condition. No,
okay.
Na tu si gebe.
Kenga ya cham kebde do ken.
Ya cham si gebe.
No.
Kun de gemo chogu. Na
wa de na pape kyo je shebe de kun de gemo shote do.
Ya cham si gebe.
Ke kaba na u chene to kon am jata de.
Ya cham. Namo guru be. Namo bedaya. Namo dharma. Namo Sanghaya, Namo Gurave, Namo Vedaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya, Namo Namo Vedaya, Namo Dharmaya, Vedon Raji Gigi Wanda Medene Vejanda Dama Santa Lugi Vizun Sugi Taji De Jatan Dara Dele
Yon Sa Ye Beye Yoshi Medo Tama Vero
Nge 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 Nge
Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge Nge
Sangha
We must strive to accomplish complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. And for that reason, we should cultivate the altruistic motivation or bodhicitta motivation. And with that kind of motivation, we should participate in this teaching.
Dungi chijan chule tharne na sanji ji khomba thaya ki chigo yobas.
I believe that we are participating in teachings and cultivating dharma or spirituality, practicing teachings with a wish to free both ourselves as well as others from the state of suffering so that we can eventually achieve a complete enlightened state of Buddhahood for the benefit of other sentient beings.
Starting
from our historical teacher, Shakyamuni Buddha, and down through lineage spiritual masters such as Arya Nagarjuna, Arya Asanga, and as a matter of fact all the great realized master scholars of India and Tibet, what we learn is this, that
So through
all of them, what we learn or what they have unanimously said is this, that in order for us to get it off all the suffering for good, the suffering that we don't want, and to find lasting peace and happiness, there is no other way or means or method except to to cultivate dharma or spirituality. So if we were to kind of summarize what they have said, it boils down to understanding what is called the theory of karmic action and its outcomes or results.
Sanji chamde ne ke le geva chena debin devan jo yata ani le mi geva chena ti ani debin dungi jo yata ta kanna ngres.
Shakyamuni Buddha has very clearly taught that if we were to do positive or wholesome karmic actions, these would bring us happiness as their outcome or result. And if we were to do negative karmic actions or unwholesome karmic actions, this would lead to suffering result. Such are the things Buddha taught us, and we should not simply accept what Buddha said based on some blind faith. But we should use our critical intelligence to examine or investigate the truth of Buddha's teachings. Buddha adopted in his teachings the kind of approach where what he taught it accords with what reality is or what truth is, or that he based his teachings on what we call the sound or valid reasoning. So Buddha's approach of the teachings consists of, if you will, such things as what is really real truth is in reality, and also taught things based upon what we call sound rationale. Buddha has always taught us and emphasized that whatever we do, we must do it, in which this case, meaning as we study and practice Dharma, it should be based upon understanding sound reasoning or rationale. What's the purpose of doing whatever we are doing? So relating to that, Buddha talked about four reliances. As a matter of fact, we can look at them from two different sides. What are the four things that we could rely upon, or we could cultivate as reliances, if you will, and what are the things we should not rely upon? So Buddha taught what we called four reliances, four things that we can and should rely upon, and what are the four things we should not. So the first thing he said was we must not rely upon a person per se, but what he or she teaches. So here we got, what we should not rely upon, but what we should. So in other words, what Buddha is saying is this, that the person may look very poor, may not look, attractive, but what he says, he or she says, is the truth. It accords with Buddha's, teaching, principles of Buddha's teachings, then we should accept his words or his teachings, and we should not be bothered with how he or she looks from the outside.
No, that is kichambres.
So that's really very important, you know, to rely on the words of the person rather than the person per se.
No, that is that. That thing is that thing. I told that. Tangdel na matenge de na tes. Ani sanje kamde de kai na. Sungyam tendu yore ta. Tangde ko gomba te so shi jam re nge de ke. Nge ta sanje kamde ka karna na ta tele. Cha ja gure sa. Te se cha ja on ta.
And then Buddha also said that we should not rely so much on the interpretable words of the teachings of the Buddha, but rather we should rely more on the definitive words of the teachings of the Buddha. And so that's, when we talk about reliance here, in other words, it could also be understood in terms of trust. What can we trust and what we cannot or should not trust per se. So here Buddha said that when it comes to trust, we should trust in a sense less on the things he said which require, interpretation, valid interpretation of course, but we should rely more on what he really said definitively. So we should rely more on his definitive words and teachings.
For instance,
In other words, that Buddha said things in certain contexts at certain time under certain circumstances, but thinking about other things. So in other words, that we must not take Buddha's words always at face value. We must not literally accept everything Buddha said, because Buddha said many things which need valid interpretation. We need to understand why he said it and where he said it and what was the real intention behind what he said it. Otherwise, we cannot accept what he said literally. So those are what we call interpretable words or the teachings of Buddha. So we rely less on those, but we should rely more on his definitive words and teachings. And then Buddha also said that there are many types of what we call consciousness. There are sensory consciousnesses, and there is mental consciousness. So of these different types of consciousness, we should not rely so much on our sensory consciousnesses or sensory perceptions, but rather we should rely upon and trust our mental consciousness, because sensory consciousnesses are often are often mistaken. And then lastly, Buddha said that we should not rely so much on the words, but on the meaning of the words. In other words, that we should not be carried away by or bogged down upon what kind of words, you know, he used or what, whoever the speaker is, you know, are those the beautiful words or not the one, right one or whatever. We should look more into what's the actual meaning that's conveyed through such words. If the meaning is really, if the meaning is meaningful, it is about truth, then we should accept the meaning, but should not be so much concerned with the words.
So that the song is correct, and Changdeon and Ngaedeon, Sanjay Kanon, Changdeon and Ngaedeon, and you may say, Tandos and Kanon, Katil, and Changdeon and Ngaedeon, being able to send Jeva letter, and letting you do what you get a material, he gone, and those in Jeva.
So why Buddha had to talk about what we call literally translating the four things that we should rely on and the four things we should not rely on? So I call it four reliances. Why Buddha had to talk about those things is because Buddha taught things which can be classified into two types. Interpretable words of the teachings and definitive words of the teachings. So in other words, that everything Buddha said cannot be accepted literally. There are things he said which require authentic, valid interpretations by analyzing why he said what he said and under what circumstances and so on. So to be able to understand the distinction between Buddha's interpretable teachings of the words and definitive words of the teachings, we need to understand the four reliances which I just mentioned. So how do we understand the distinction between the interpretable and definitive words of the teachings of Buddha? Just trying to simplify this, whatever Buddha said that we could accept literally as he said it, it doesn't need any explanation or interpretation of some sort. So such words of the teachings of Buddha are what we call the Ngaedeon, definitive words of the teachings.
Karin is in the pen singing the Yavina. Then you soon don't make Hebrews a Quintu Pons and go on with the Lam Gombrich. I said that's Sumba Nying. Taran Gombagin Deke Yamar, Taran Killam.
Just to give you an example of Buddha's definitive teachings of the words. When Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths, of course, in multiple ways, for one of the ways he said, one must, realize truth of suffering. One must abandon the true cause of suffering. One must cultivate or meditate on the spiritual path, true path. And Gopangwendacha, one must actualize or realize the true cessation of suffering. So these things Buddha said are definitive teachings because we accept them, we should accept them and could accept them just the way he said it. Now let me give you an example of Buddha's interpretable teachings or interpretable words. For example, Buddha said, father and mother are to be killed. That's what he really said, literally. Of course, that should not be taken literally, meaning that, you know, everybody should go and kill your mom and dad. You know, Buddha did not say that. But he said those things, you know, with different, intention and understanding behind that, which is he used the, words father and mother to indicate contaminated karmic actions and deluded states of mind. And to kill, meaning we should eliminate or we should abandon contaminated karmic actions and delusions. So that is the authentic interpretation or understanding of what Buddha meant by when he said father and mother or mom and dad are to be killed. So of course Buddha did not say such things to everybody, you know, he said it to a particular person, and there was a very good reason why he said it to that particular person. If he didn't say it, there would be more tragedy and disaster. So he said such thing, but the person also understood, later on of course, that what really Buddha meant was, although he was really perplexed at the time, what Buddha said, or maybe shocked, but then he understood that what really Buddha meant, he understood that Buddha meant he should get rid of his contaminated karmic actions and delusions. Now let me give you another example of Buddha's interpretable words of the teachings, which many of you probably are more familiar with. In Heart Sutra, Pranjanaprame, the Hridayam Sutra, Buddha really literally talks about here, no eyes, no ears, no nose, no this, no that. Well, of course, we cannot accept these words literally as Buddha said it, you know, no eyes, no nose, no ears, and so on. But what he really meant is, by using such language or the terminologies, what Buddha was talking about is, there are no inherently existent eyes, there are no inherently existent nose, no inherently existent ears, and so on. So that should be the proper or the correct understanding of what Buddha meant by, no this, no eyes, no nose, and no that. So the point I'm trying to make here is, as we participate in teachings such as the one that we are doing now, or that we are, you know, reading or studying Dharma scriptures on our own, we have to keep in our mind that we may encounter, Buddha's teachings on all those different levels or the dimensions, where at a surface value it might seem like very contradictory and paradoxical, you know. But at the same time, when we understand, you know, we have to know that certain sections of Buddha's teachings require valid, authentic interpretation and understanding. Whatever Buddha said, every word Buddha said, whether we find it in definitive sutras or we find it in interpretable sutras, everything Buddha said was, said with the intention to help sentient beings grow spiritually, to realize their ultimate spiritual goal. That's the enlightenment.
Sanjay, dhamma yuwa san ti nangyi ka te ane kandi shungi tu zhala ta rang ta rarang ka ane sambha ta thimba ki ka jayani ane sanji ka sal triya ka tabi nani ta taki mandra mambushi nangyi wa res shungwa tu shungwa res
Buddha's you know, intention is to lead all sentient beings to a complete enlightened state. So in order to do that, Buddha had to cater to the needs of diverse types of sentient beings, because sentient beings have you know, many different levels of mental dispositions, interests, and capabilities, and so on. So in order to suit the needs of a wide range of sentient beings' mental disposition and potentialities, the Buddha had to taught many different things. You know, he had to give teachings at many different levels.
So that, that,
In terms of what Buddha taught, although there is this tremendous diversity in Buddha's teachings and approaches, but ultimately what Buddha has been doing is, as Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa Jerumbuche very clearly states in his in trace of dependent arising or relativity, Tendul Thirba. And as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, so Jerumbuche says that, meaning Buddha, you, whatever you have taught, it has, you know, to do with understanding emptiness and dependent arising. In other words, that whatever Buddha has taught, it either explicitly or implicitly guides us to understand the compatibility and the harmony, you know, between emptiness and dependent arising. So what emptiness means is emptiness should be understood in terms of dependent arising, and dependent arising, you know, helps us to understand what emptiness is. So that is the ultimate, the intention of a Buddha, and all Buddha's teachings have something to do with this particular notion or the concept. So why Buddha's teaching has to do with understanding, you know, the complementarity of emptiness and dependent arising. The thing I just said is, you know, Buddha's teachings either explicitly or implicitly, that's to say directly or indirectly, deal with you know, emptiness and dependent arising. Why, if you ask? The reason why is, as Lama Tsongkhapa got the reasons in the subsequent lines, as Geshe-la quoted from his memory, I said, because Buddha ultimately wanted all sentient beings to go beyond the state of suffering, which is called nirvana. Buddha wants sentient beings to experience the real peace and lasting happiness of state beyond suffering. And such understandings that we you know, mentioned earlier, understanding what emptiness means, dependent arising means, that would lead beings to go beyond the state of suffering.
Tā kāngi namjūni ngārāṅ sāmālō kio kāngi xeba te sōrī lālīngā ñāne xeba kei chimba rēs?
Of course, one of the very important things to keep in our mind is whatever understanding of Dharma that we have, it is very important for us, more important for us to put that into practice. In other words, to implement the teachings.
Tā? Nē, sēngi hēnlā. Rāni yīmbi sēngjī yīnlā, nē, nē bā shiē tā lūtā ngātā yīshī, nē bā shiē tā 빵 그릇, 대체 그릇.
So practicing dharma or spirituality involves that we should not harm or hurt other sentient beings through our actions of body, speech, and mind.
성자 다디 로셜 가르쳐나 다 뭐 아니 다 주인이 신한다 다 생지 토니 다 얘네 팬데드 역상 방문을
And we should do the opposite of harming other sentient beings. That would be try to benefit others through the actions of our body, speech, and mind. Whether we could do it directly or indirectly, you know, if there are things we could do literally or directly to benefit sentient beings, do that. But sometimes it's more like we are generating positive thoughts and attitudes, which are more like indirect, you know, benefit. To other sentient beings.
That gewa dun ti jesu ane te ane da control that le she ne te da ane kuno ngamba tin le ga ne kangje la su ju ma res.
So as we create or make efforts to do positive things, accumulate merit, virtues, we should also see that our positive actions or the merits are not destroyed by destructive delusions such as anger. You know, if we let anger destroy our positive actions, then it is like, you know, we are... How should we say it? The Tibetans have a proverb which is called, literally means that you leave your footprint, which is really important, your legacy, but then with your hand, you kind of erase it, you know. So now there's nothing there. So we do not want to do that. We do not want to create merit and positive actions, and then we destroy them with some destructive emotion, particularly anger.
Che nyunyu ki tetsima to makina tati pe nyamsu lan ni dhruva nyuva shikana te chunju cheva de nyamsu lan dhruva de ta kechao chao gyaris.
Let me put it this way, that you know, someone might have quite extensive knowledge about Dharma, but never really puts it into practice or cares about implementing it. Or some may have a very limited but correct understanding of Dharma and tries to put that into practice. Of these two individuals, the later one, the one who has a limited understanding of Dharma but practices it, so that's more important and that's better.
No, that be- rang to so sang tang jir ma to me ying to pa sang tang ni this is your mari
So as I always remind all of ourselves, as we go through this, we are talking about nobody else but ourselves. You know, we tell ourselves, you know, am I doing it? Is this what I am doing or I should be doing? We should not think of like, this is not a checklist to find out whether other people are doing this or not. That is, I guess I didn't say it, but just to make the point strong, none of our business.
Okay, that is Karan Tagashita. Nene Nema Kansa Dinda. That is in Jos Doginda Dendi.
Lolonski.
Rava.
Nadi.
Karsigri. Kunzo Lata Nemane Lucini, Chil, Pen, Devachani, Sigurta, and the Kadu Din Kadu. This is my Jos Dogins. Kadu Kari and the tea, and that the Mato, the Yen is to take Lundesi and the Matan, and they can test and Dali. That Pagin do you as a Mambu.
Okay, so we are going to go back to this wonderful text called Personal Advices from Kadama Gyeshes. So the way I approach this now is I would like to, you know, go through each section and just explain what is really said in the statements, you know, and I'm not going to take time to, I should say, pull resources from many other Buddhist texts to elucidate and to give an elaborate, you know, explanation of the statement here. I think I did that, you know, many years, and you know that, and just, you know, I'm following a little different approach here. We would like to, you know, hopefully finish this text, you know, completely and soon. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
That, that, Kassan, that, 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 that
Okay,
during any day, gishi gomba bishanis, gishi gomba bishanis, kada bi gishi gina ta, tari, any re tanandi, a choji kata, loma ka choji tradichi res, and konga ni shi ni dosin kanga rakal ta, ya kandi shi ngay shuman ina man dosin, ki chimbo yimba di maka nang di kas.
Now we are going to go through a section which actually records what a great Kadamba Geshe by the name of Geshe Gonpaba. He was one of the great disciples of great Adisha. And you know, maybe no one has asked him any questions, but we have got you know, some of his great advices here, what he feels are very important for us to follow. So let's go through what Geshe Gonpaba has got to say.
The Kadambi Dhamten Javin Junishi, Kadambi Gonpaba Shi, any Amin Shankyu Rinshi, Amin Shankyu Rinshi, the Choji Tere. Tawa Shashi Juni, Ta Changma Zongke, Susi Zongke, Tere, Ta Dhamten Dhamten Javin Juni, Tui Naya Ta Chipasi, Mil Dhyasin, Ta Hama Yinda Chalpan Dhyasin, Ta Hama Yinda Chalpan Dhyasin, Ta Да, но баба чуешь, ведь сами бы дошли к вам джами дюна. Там есть есть осо.
Well, I is kind of going against what I just said. Like I said, I'm not going to elaborate too much, and then I find myself doing it here. You know, let me just introduce a little bit these great geishas of Kadamba here. You know, all of them are the great disciples of great Adisha. And so Dromtenpa, who is considered the main disciple of Adisha, during Adisha's lifetime, Dromtenpa acted more like a secretary, personal secretary, to Adisha, and he was also, you know, the sort of, he played the role of, you know, PR, like public relation person. And then there was another great Kadamba Geshe by the name of Ame Changchub Rinchen, and he was more like a personal attendant to, you know, Adisha and taking his care of his personal needs. And Geshe Gonpaba, of course, attended Adisha's teachings, but he was more dedicated to do his meditation and practice.
And you might get choji kete. That's around something a top of doings. Then, gom jata nyamne chen ene nyamne ta siya ke tumje kani do atagi iskana.
So one day, Adisha, you know, gathered all of them, said, you know what, today I wanted to, you know, kind of test your realizations, you know, how well you have been doing your practice, you know, your meditation.
Then, Gomba Bhagona, Ame Shankyu Rinchen, Ame Shankyu Changma Zoya Tang, Susi Zoya Tang, Taka Nagi Yachi Piya Tang, Changma Lo, Ta Nanguri Pe, Tila Chita Yori Ke, Gomba Shita Jeshung Eshi Ma Resam. Ani dong tuan jemput jemput itu kan lagi ada milih pendaya sih itu ni langsir ni. Tapi, tapi top itu ni ngan atas jaga mendo. Tapi, cuci cuci langsir gomba pa, cuci cuci sih langsir pasi sih korang nanti cuci. Tapi gom jaya tuan tadi ke langsir. Tapi, tes ngan atas jaga mendo sih gom berita.
So when they are sitting with great Adisha, right, Adisha asked him, he said, you know, today I want to find out, you know, who has, you know, higher realizations among you and the outcomes of your practice, meditation. So at that point, you know, Geshe Gonpa Rinchen, in his mind, you know, he felt this way. He thought that, well, when I look at Ame Changchub Rinchen, you know, he's a very wonderful person, but he was always busy taking care of the personal needs of Adisha, right? He was cooking and he was cleaning and he was doing all sort of things. He really didn't have much time to do meditation or practice, you know, so he was busy there. And then he thought about Dromtenpa, said, yeah, Dromtenpa too, he was, you know, Adisha's personal secretary and PRO, and, you know, so he was busy again. So he really didn't have much time either to do meditation. But I'm the one who attend all the teachings. As soon as the teachings are over, I just, you know, don't hang out and go back and do my meditation and practice. So somehow in his mind, he thought, I think maybe I'm the more realized among us here.
Mm-hmm. That's how you think the duties on the Amazon Shooting Tap Taxation. The Congo paid Georgia Hunters and his Tapsantos of paying money to Shark, Lucy Chen Patti, eh, Kivita, Munitoni, Lame Chesh, number Tavati. Do the church, Kong Yagasumasun.
So, to cut short the story, you know, what happened was what really Adisha found was that among three of them, Ame Changchub Rinchen was the one who was, you know, who came out better in terms of realization. And because in Ame Changchub Rinchen, he really was, you know, purely dedicated and devoted to the service of his, you know, guru, Adisha. And when Adisha often got sick and terribly sick, Ame Changchub Rinchen wouldn't even care to, you know, clean up his excrements and, you know, all the feces and everything. And so he was very, you know, purely dedicated to his master's service, and he came out better of the three.
That indeed, Mongo Yung, the thing Malare Kersi, and that Re Malare Bagal Homa Sumi, that any time Mugus, then any Mambu, then do us that very stuff.
So there are many, you know, similar stories about how, you know, even among the, you know, disciples of the great Miller Rebbe, right? When Miller Rebbe tested their students' outcomes, somebody who was highly devoted to him, something, you know, came out better than the others who thought they were better because they were kind of just doing their practice. Okay, I just have to remind myself, just don't, you know, get caught up, you know, telling stories or, you know, bringing so many other explanations here. I'll try to move smoothly through the text now.
Okay. Sanji Kumba Toya and Zawat and Zona the Tony the two Riskana.
So Geshe Gombaba said that the root or the source for achieving omniscient state, that's enlightenment, is to fulfill the two types of accumulation. Well, but then I find myself in an odd situation that I need to explain something. Otherwise, you know, if I said that much, then I'm just repeating the text and you may not understand what this really meant. So what he really meant by the two types of accumulation is the accumulation of merit, positive action, and accumulation of insight or wisdom.
Right.
So motivated by bodhicitta, whatever positive actions you create, such positive actions are considered as a collection of merit. Whatever positive actions we do, conjoined with the understanding of emptiness, or the conjoined with the wisdom realizing emptiness, such positive actions are considered as a collection of insight or wisdom.
So
the Geshe Gombaba said that the root or the source for attaining omniscient wisdom or enlightenment is the two types of collection of merit and collection of wisdom. And the root or the source of the two types of collection is to cultivate bodhicitta. So as Geshe-la just explained, that when we generate bodhicitta, and with that as a motivation, when we do virtues or positive actions, such positive actions become collection of merit. And when we generate understanding of emptiness and do virtues, such virtues or positive actions become collection of wisdom. And then the Geshe Gompa goes on to say that the root or the source of bodhicitta is great love and great compassion, and the principal precepts or advices or actions relating to all of those things are the six perfections or the paramitas.
Don't you to be here to see me and then get that into his toes kung the sumber? Come on, take time to tell any carita thing is it? Sunnah to show that he's so any body and saw the cover to another person to be yelling to your risk and answer.
No. So when we think about how do we accumulate merit and wisdom, then it really boils down to the practices of six perfections or parameters.
All right. That the kind of thing is not enough. And the person to get any person to do that kind of reason. And the Jimbe saw the career, Jimba told the Jimbe saw the career, and Mashapa you go.
So what are the six perfections and what are their significance? Or how do we practice or cultivate them, you ask. Here Geshe Gompa says that the root or the source of generosity or giving, dan, is non-attachment. So dhinchanamela means letting go. Non-attachment is the source of generosity. To be able to purely give or to practice giving very purely, we have to let go any kind of attachment. So when we the way we should understand generosity here is it's not just giving to the poor and the needy, which is no doubt giving, but it also includes making offerings to the three jewels, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and Gurus and so on. And so whatever we do, whether we give to the poor and needy or whether we make offerings to the holy beings, in both cases we must let go our clinging and attachment. And the root or the source of the practice of ethics or morality, Shila, is to cultivate what is called noble friend. So how does that work is if you cultivate virtuous friends, friends of virtue, then we are not going to transgress our ethics or the vows, because being with good friends, noble friends, meaning those who like virtues and who do virtuous things, we are not going to contradict our ethics. Of course, the ethics or the practice of ethics consists of many different levels of ethics or categories, as I often explain to you. There is what we call the basic ethics of abandoning 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind. And then there is the what we call the ethics of individual emancipation, ethics. And then there is what we call bodhisattva ethics. And then above that, we have the Vajrayana or the tantric ethics. And then Geshe Gompa says that the root or the source of patience or tolerance, shanti, is to be humble. Humility or humbleness is the source of patience. In other words, that if one sees oneself to be very humble, humblest of all, if you will, then that really helps one to cultivate or to practice patience.
Mm-hmm. Mencha zumba tanga jingi bute gendar was sets and laje chamber in a name is ever going to Kali Kaburis.
You know, humility or humbleness, it does not go with arrogance and pride, right? If one is very puffed up, arrogant and proud, has a lot of pride, then that person is going to be intolerant. He's not going to, be very tolerant of, others, what they think of, what others think of, him and so on. But if one is very humble, very, that sense of humility, then that really helps one to cultivate patience. Mm.
However knowledgeable or realized
one is, if one holds that very humble position, right, and respect everybody else as if everybody else is above one, then that is really the source of gaining or acquiring many remarkable and positive qualities.
Ane jari thoe mamu ane jari jaye den chamalo ane zaba magami jin shumar mas.
All kinds of fights and quarrels and all those things are because of lack of patience.
That's answer. That's it. Then that little tune then tell it then and then random they been not they were not so big you go and try to hack over and hack over was.
And I think based on our own experiences, we can, understand how impatience brings us a lot of troubles and headaches and problems. So let us not forget what Geshe Kongpa said, cultivate humility or humbleness, because if we consider ourselves as humblest of all, then that really augments or is very conducive, it helps us to practice patience in relation to others. And then he says that the root or the source of cultivating enthusiastic perseverance, chundu, enthusiastic effort, is to reflect upon death and dying. Now we need to find out how does that work,
Karin sen randi pena rancho chewa ani chewala ngeba meba ta ani namchi ngeme ba jin dusi ha kosuna ani che ma de ba si de zan meba chagyoris kadi na ko che si je ba ji san na tang ta ba de na ma to rangi ani che na da ani chewa memba la she ko ni she an da ta ni ani ta she na ani che du ye meba ta ani rang ani kar se ko ta de ja tum
If we are, constantly aware of the certainty of death, that means I'm going to die for sure. There is nothing mystery about it. There's nothing to doubt about it. It is a sure thing to happen. Not only is death a sure thing to happen in my life or anybody's life, but the time of death is uncertain. I cannot say when I'm going to die. That is also a fact of life. If we really find ourselves being mindful of, being aware of these facts of our life, then I think we cannot help but think about spirituality or dharma, most of the time. You see, we find ourselves practicing dharma, thinking about dharma all the time, because we know that, before death hits me, I cannot waste my time, energy, and resources. I got to do practice. Otherwise, once it hits me, I don't know what is going to happen to me in the next life. If I find myself in an unfortunate state, then, you see, I won't find an opportunity to cultivate spirituality. And as a matter of fact, before death strikes me, I want to fulfill my spiritual aim. So that's how, you know, we really get very spiritually inclined and oriented and enthusiastic in our spirituality as we become aware of death. So most of the time, you know, if, you know, when we look at ourselves, we say, okay, I don't find much of a time to cultivate practice or think about spirituality. We are wasting so much time getting caught up with other things. Why? Because we do not care to think about death. We don't think about it.
That's something you saw at that passion to go to. Nobody. Something you saw at the end of the temple talks.
And then the Geshe Gampopa says, the root or the source of cultivating samadhi, concentration, is to be in solitude.
That's something gongki in. And then the Sinkya Mangbo Yasata, Sangi Sing Yasata Gongju Mebrita, Ali Tambu Gongju Zinarita. Tambu Gongju Zan, any, but ne, Wempala Gongku.
What that means is that, of course, especially for the beginners, if one is interested to cultivate samadhi or concentration, as beginners, one should seek a peaceful place or a solitude to cultivate samadhi. Because if one is going to be in a very crowded and hectic, I'll use the word that Geshe-la gets amused, hustle and bustle location, there is not going to be samadhi.
That when but saying that when but the new years that thing learning man thing man when but things with the new years nang ke are when but the same lun dun ji ke when but the same nan dog when but the new years yes.
So the Tibetan term here is Wenpa, means to isolate, literally. And I use the word, you know, solitude, which could also refer to the location. So when we talk about isolation, you know, we have to understand it in two different ways. To cultivate samadhi, we isolate ourselves physically from busyness and hecticness of life and situations. So that is called the physical isolation or wenpa, or being in a solitude physically where, you know, it is very peaceful and conducive to do our samadhi practice. But isolation could also be understood more importantly in terms of isolating our mind from discursive thoughts and all kinds of, you know, how should I say, you know, all kinds of mental chattering, you know, blah, 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 going on the mind. That kind of isolation, mental isolation, is more important, as a matter of fact, when we talk about cultivating samadhi. At the end of the three principal paths, you know, work, which is a very amazing, wonderful work, Jerembuche, you know, concludes, he said, Pemba Tenne, he means, having cultivated solitude or seeking solitude, one should generate the power of enthusiasm in order to fulfill one's ultimate aims.
Oh, no. That in Dubashi. Something going to be in the same namto ki wenpa tang lun dun ji ki wenpa ni te sang sing ma shi ti ti ni bo de ga go go.
So in other words, if one wants to cultivate concentration or samadhi, one has to physically isolate oneself from hecticness and busyness and crowdiness of life and situations, and one has to mentally isolate one's mind from discursive thoughts and busy thoughts.
Ta shire ti zawa ta rang sen rangsela tawala tus.
And then Geshe Gampopa says here that the root or the source of cultivating wisdom is to look at one's own mind.
Ta ti karese na shire ti zawa se rang gila ani dame to bi shire la so ba ani mata ba to bi shire dame to bi shire to ni ani shire ti ni she wa she pa la ani rang sengu to la takti she gurus.
So what he is saying here is that if we would like to cultivate wisdom, realizing impermanence, wisdom realizing selflessness or emptiness, then we have to examine, we have to look at our own mind and investigate the nature of our mind, examine our own state of mind.
Rang simti dadun zimba da pa mebe tawa sheni, dangzi da tawa sheni, ani ti losho damito bi khir samta. Ani matawa zimbi losho kte, ani matawa matawa to bi lo rangi le sheba sheni, arita ma sheba sheba tab sheni. And those in the same taxi should be done.
So we have to look at our mind and find out, you know, about our different types of grasping. If we find ourselves grasping at permanence of life and things, then we have to, you know, counteract that grasping by cultivating understanding and realization of impermanence of life and things. So that's how we have to look at our mind and uproot grasping at permanence of life and things. For the same reason, as we look at our mind, we realize that we are grasping at, inherent self. And in which case, now we have to counteract it by generating the understanding that, our mind does not exist objectively, inherently, in and of itself. So with such understanding, we are able to uproot grasping at self from within our mind. And then Geshe Gombaba says that the root or the source for receiving blessings is to cultivate faith and respect from whom we seek the blessings. And then he says that the root or the source for all kinds of spiritual realizations and attainments we call mudu, siddhi, or boon, for lack of a better word in English, is to observe our vows and commitments, to preserve our vows and commitments intact. So when we talk about the mudrup, the Tibetan term mudrup, which is translated as attainments or siddhis in Sanskrit, we can talk about what is called common siddhis or attainments and uncommon attainments.
Mudrup ni bokari na thongde du na rang ke lambi domba da tangsi domba ya bu songure kanam gurka.
So if we would like to accomplish whether it is common attainments or uncommon attainments, what really is essential here is to observe our vows and commitments properly and keep them pure and intact. And the next one is very important too, where Geshe Gombaba says the root or the source of what we call yönden. The Tibetan term yönden is literally translated as remarkable qualities, but this could also incorporate knowledge, understanding, realization, and so on. So it's a very generic, broad term. It says, let me say, the qualities. So the root or the source for gaining qualities is to adopt the threefold approach of listening, contemplation, and meditation.
No, that is to use that. That yendo jitawa rang yendo drup dog do na yendo rang yendo drup dog do na yendo jitawa kare jana rang do mepal to rang tenda drupal tam chamba mejeba tel tu yer tam.
And then he says that the root or the source to benefit others is, not to get, overly concerned with one's own self-interest.
Ah, no. That rāngbēn tā yīndē nī kē chāvā kārē jīnā gōm tū lā thūks rāng tā yīn jī tā nī kā dhūpa lā kār gōg rēs nā gōm jābā tā gōm tā dhūpa nyāmi shēvā thūk rēs
And then finally he says the root or the source for fulfilling the purposes of both self and others is to do one's spiritual practice and to do meditation.
Tang wen xin yin na gu gan ba ba ka na ba tun zu be su su ci ki nyan ne xia kang tin nan du was.
So if you really look in all these things Geshe Kumbhapa said, we can find, you know, just, you know, the things we can do, practice for a whole life. And basically our practice for a whole life is contained in these statements from Geshe Kumbhapa.
Oh, no. That time, when you say, Tsawa Tsawa Se, the Kanko Yiddi, but it's a Tita Ting Jongwa Shepa, the Yiddi, Tsawa Se, the Kanko Yiddi.
So basically, Geshe Kumbhapa has sort of identified what are the tawa, which literally means roots, but which are the source for gaining all kinds of, you know, how should I say, positive outcomes or results. And we will stop there today, and I have got many prayer requests here. So let me announce the request for those who have passed away. Prayers have been requested for those who have passed away. Beverly Niger, Kyle, Ursula, Roxana, let me see where I have, Rolando, Telesios, and so these people have already passed away and prayers have been requested for them. Now, prayers for those who are dealing with health issues, who are sick. David Bellows and his family, his cousin, his mom, his father-in-law, all dealing with health issues. Asa Shakuri, Danny Ramirez, June, and do have okay, so they have requested for prayers to recover from their sicknesses.
Let us dedicate our collective
merit for the flourishing of Dharma throughout the universe, for the long life of His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great and holy masters. May they live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free from all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our merit for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly. Some announcements. First announcement is about, I'm going to leave for Washington, D.C. on Tuesday to attend the Congressional Gold Medal event for His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And I will be gone for a couple of weeks, and I will be back on November 1st, again, Tuesday, December. So in my absence, Venerable Tenzin Khaje, Anala, will be, doing Sunday teachings, and I always, encourage everybody to attend them, if you have time, and as a matter of fact, I would say you should, and so that, you can, practice together as well.
No.
So the second announcement is about, recently led by Venerable Ani Tenzin Khaje, I think many of our students have participated in the walk for, prevention of cancer or something like that. Just correct me if I'm wrong. So Gisela appreciated that, and Gisela wanted to say that it was very wonderful that many of our students took part in that. Of course, the most important thing for us is to do our spiritual practice. There's no substitute to that. But then at the same time, when we have some time, leisure, it's good to you know, participate in social, you know, we might call activism, and socially engage in such important events to benefit you know, others. So I want to thank everybody who participated in that, but it seems like everybody is just going to give a kata, a scarf, a white silk scarf to those who participated. I think I can't see anything from here, but so first the kata goes to Venerable Anila.
Okay. Tarsu. Wait a minute.
Next, other another Anila, Anitarzo.
Tarsu, Tarsu, Tarsu. Oh, okay, okay. Okay, good, okay. Okay. I'm going to catch you.
No, no.
This or his? Okay. Okay, cool.
Hello again.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It goes to help breast and ovarian
cancer.
So that's very wonderful that you did that, you know, for to cure the, you know, cancer. And so I just want to say thank you to everybody who participated in that. And then, of course, here's the translator coming. I think because Geshe-la is living for a couple of weeks, now you know that sort of a cultural norm is more than cultural. It's culture is okay. But so you can save your prostrations for Geshe-la Save Written with that intention, not out of laziness, doing prostration. And so, okay, Geshe-la have a safe trip.
Okay. Tengila.
No.
The Gandhi chulin ke tindo. Ke de tindo.
No.
The any Quran se to share in the dollar ki ni ne tan condition na. Ti ki string sangi de pa de bang pa ke de bang de kun ani de zo ke ngan de zo ke ne sing de.
Shi sa le de.
Ah.
Shi sa le de.
Na de de ni ni de. Ma dan ke de
shi zo ngan sa na ne lap shuo ro ke. Ming chi shi na.
And they pack a good set.
I think, you know, we have another request here. the Ganden Chuling Tibetan Buddhist Nunnery in Dharamsala, I think they have sent some donation booklets there. And we would appreciate it if anybody, you know, can spare like a dollar or two, you know, to donate to the nunnery. So please do that today, and you can contact Ani Kajula or Ani Tazula, either of them, and make your 2 cent contribution. We appreciate that, because we need to bring them, you know, Keshla and go to the East Coast.
Kajula.
Logan.
Ani tati ngaju itu garis gure. Sampai le zani meni kadang ngaju cikgu ngai cuci gurus. Ani tati ngaju di garis gure tati kajis center gure. Sampai ini tati zau 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 dah bebe bebe cuci yang hius. Ani lada tu nanti tu kena tu bebe kor hindu yana kunci hius. Ani bebe cuci la tati tati kunci kajin tu sini megi baca le bebe kor tu hius. Layu, jadi tadi, ini na, kunci cuci juga aman dah. Kunci ke pegang juga, tapi pedang kota tadi cuci juga. Jadi cuma tu, kalau tu ngal cuci ni tu, ni kalau cuci ni kan tu, yang tu ini ini apa harus, yang tu ni, bawa cukup tanda ini.
I think another announcement I want to make is that occasionally, you know, this is of course Tibetan Buddhist monastery, and our primary focus is on the Buddhist teachings and practice. Having said that, it's also related very much to Tibetan culture, so it's a cultural center in that sense. And so occasionally, it seems like we are organizing you know, speakers on Tibetan culture and cultural experiences. Now that's a very secular experience, not it's not a Dharma teaching, okay. And so the first speaker seems will be like the former Tibetan cabinet minister, Mr. Pema Chenjur, Honorable Pema Chenjur, and he will talk about his life experiences and about culture. So that's more organized for the Tibetans, local Tibetans. At the same time, you know, we invite our students, if you have time, you know, you don't have to come. It's not a Dharma teaching, but if you have time, you're interested in that, learning about the Tibetan cultural life experiences, so you're welcome to those events. So we will be organizing that whenever, you know, we find time and occasion, because Sundays we can, you know, we do teachings, and so we will be keeping you, I think, informed in case you have time and energy and to participate. So sometimes when we don't have Sunday teachings or like that, then we will organize such events, and maybe if you have time, you are welcome to those events. So that's all.
Thank you.
Logan.
You are not once, but this.